This is Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. It is Tuesday, it's June 28th, and we are talking about the world champion Green Bay Packers. I'm your host, Brian Kervu. Thank you for joining me this morning. And at the moment, to kick things off today, on the line, I have a very special guest, Robert Greenfield of thepackerranter.com. Robert, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing just fine, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's like having a celebrity on the show here. But Robert, the news of the day is Aaron Rodgers was nominated for two ESPY Awards yesterday. And I think the question on everybody's mind is, are the ESPYs more important or as important as the Oscars? In other words, where do the ESPYs rank in the hierarchy of award shows?
I would put those up with the MTV Music Awards. To me, the ESPYs aren't that great, but, you know, I think that's awesome that he was nominated. I mean, he's like an American bohunk superstar. The world just loves the guy right now, and I know I do, too.
Yeah, somebody had actually tweeted me this morning. He's hands down for Deity of the Year Award. Yeah, that could be an appropriate award for Aaron Rodgers, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. I mean, the next thing I think he needs is just like a supermodel girlfriend. I don't know. And he's got the total package. He's kind of like the new Tom Brady, I guess, except he's cooler.
But what you're telling me is that the ESPYs are less important than the Nickelodeon's Kids' Choice Awards? Is that what I'm understanding?
I'd like to see a poll on that, but I imagine it might be pretty close. But
We might be able to pull that off, actually, so hang on. In other matters of national import, Aaron Rodgers was ranked number 11 on the NFL Network's list of top 100 players yesterday. So, Robert, where does Aaron Rodgers belong on the list of top 100 players?
I kind of thought about that and looked at through like kind of a process of elimination, the other players that were remaining, and kind of made a list here. And it's like, okay, so Manning, Breeze, Brady, and I think the other remaining ones would be like Reggie Wayne, Gates, Peppers, Ray Lewis, Terrell Revis, and Adrian Peterson. Does that sound kind of accurate?
Yeah, you're getting right around there, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think it's a decent spot. The other guys, except for Peterson and Revis, those are like surefire first ballot Hall of Famers, in my opinion. And the three quarterbacks that are ahead of them, Manning and Brady and Breeze, honestly, they've done what Rodgers has done in that they've won a Super Bowl and a Super Bowl MVP, and they've also won regular season MVPs, and they've just been doing it for longer. I think Rodgers and Breeze are really tight. But Manning and Brady, I think they're going to be like top five quarterbacks of all time when all is said and done. And to put Rodgers ahead of them right now, I just don't see it. I definitely think the potential is there. And the fact that this is all voted on by current players, I think, has a little bit to do with it. I mean, I don't think all the players have actually seen Rodgers play in person. I think a lot of them have been burned by the other three guys. So right now at 11, I think that's pretty cool for someone really with only 3 years starting experience. So honestly, I think it's a good spot for him. And the potential to jump into that top 10, voted on by current players, is definitely there.
I would agree with you. I would say for the time being, I would think that's an appropriate spot, and certainly in time to come that Aaron Rodgers could jump up the list. So, let's reset things here. You know, tell me, Robert, about PackerRanter.com. How did this thing get started, and who's that nerdy Franklin Hillside guy that writes with you?
Oh, he's a book restorer. He enjoys binding glue and Andy Reid mustache. Franklin has been a friend of mine since, for 15 years. We met in college in Minnesota. And we were both from Wisconsin and both diehard Packer fans. And the first year we were in college, it was Packers and Broncos in the Super Bowl. And being in Minnesota, obviously, getting a lot of Viking fans rooting against us, and that didn't go too well that day. But I remember talking with him that day, and the friendship kind of grew from there. And this was always just, the Packers were always just a hot topic. As we kind of started going to games and stuff like that, he actually introduced me to the Packer blogs, and he's kind of been always just a diehard reader, and kind of like, hey, you know what? I think we can give this a shot. We're like, not total idiots, and we might have a perspective. So what we did is we started, and we were like, oh, the Packer Ranter, that's got a nice ring to it. And the you know, Ranter thing, like, yeah, we're going to be diehard. We're going to be no holds barred, tell like it is. And that lasted for about a day, and it's just not our personality. So if you go in there now, it's I like to say it's the lighter side of Packers and Packer culture. I've also just called it nonsense, I think, to describe it to people. So that's kind of where we stand. It's been doing this for like 3.5, 4 years. And if you go to this site, it's kind of like the Matrix. You can't be told what it is. You have to experience it for yourself. So it's a pretty remedial site, but I think it works well for our rants. What do you think, Brian?
You know, if there was an ESPY award for the best blogs, I think Packer Ranter might win it. So, but we're talking with Robert Greenfield of PackerRanter.com, and tell me, Robert, you told me who's Franklin. Who's Robert Greenfield? Does he enjoy long walks on the beaches or what?
If those beaches are in Door County, absolutely. I'm a man of many tastes, and not all of them are pretty. Click on my picture once, you can see all my interests. But, yeah, Robert and Franklin, I'll give you a little insight here. Those are our adult film star names. So Robert is my middle name, and Greenfield is a street I grew up on. And I think Franklin is his first dog, so it's always fun topic. And what I like to do after, what I tell people that is, I always ask for their adult film star name. So, Brian, what is your middle name?
My middle name is Matthew.
Matthew, okay. And now let's go with your street first and see if that's a good one.
My
grew up on.
The street I grew up on would be Sarah.
Matthew, Sarah, okay. I think we can do better than that. Do you have a first pet?
My first pet's name was Bo. So, you know, that is that a good name or not?
Oh, I didn't even catch that. I didn't hear your pet's name.
Oh, the pet's name is Bo. B-O.
Oh, Matthew Bo? Oh, okay. I think you should change it to Bo. So, yeah, that's a good name.
Robert, you wrote a post yesterday that tugged at the heartstrings about finding love in the parking lot of Lambeau Field, but you kind of left the ending open-ended. You know, what's Char doing today? Are you happily married ever after? You know, inquiring minds want to know these things, I think.
Well, you know, that's kind of like the dream scenario at a Packer game, if you ask me, is being that single guy and then, you know, looking for romance after, before and during the game. So things never actually materialized, but that's okay because she moved away and I've moved on too. But for that one day, it was pretty sweet. And I'd been listening to, I was listening to On the Road a lot. I took a road trip, and so I was trying to emulate the style a little bit. So instead of On the Road, it's called In the Lock. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Very inspirational. I came across this website called beltifyme.com. That sells championship belt buckles. Pretty sweet, right?
Oh, I think it might be the sweetest website of all time. After the Ranter, of course. And she said TV.
Tell me about this site.
Yeah, this is my secondary site. After the Super Bowl, the day after, the morning after, you know, and I went to work just, you know, buzzed out of my mind, you know, for the last, whatever, 18 hours, and just talking about Rodgers and the belt and how cool would that be, and, you know, something, wanted to do something a little different, and we just came up with the idea kind of on the spot, like, oh yeah, the belt buckle, it's right there, and put the 12 on it. So I worked really hard actually to get a design roll in, and I found a company that made custom buckles, but it took like 3 weeks to get there. So I got the design out to them and, researched marketing and got a web designer. I tried to do it myself, but yeah, thought I needed something slightly more exciting than PackerAnswer.com, although I don't think I necessarily did that. So this is kind of a hobby of mine, like a little side thing. And we've been selling these belt buckles. Well, I've been selling them. Headquarters are in my basement, and they're $14.95, and I do all the shipping, and I think they're pretty cool. So the lockout, I think, has waned a little bit of the interest in the NFL and in general, but we're still trucking along, and I got a few more to go.
Very good. I encourage everybody out there to get themselves a championship belt buckle. And finally, Robert, today, don't disappoint me. Who is the number one Packer of all time in their storied history? Who is the number one Packer?
I will have to go with Don Hutson.
You're disappointing me.
That's really?
Yeah, I was
Oh,
thinking
okay.
perhaps more contemporary. Does special
Oh,
teams ring
sure.
a bell?
Yes, it does. Well, there's a little-known man with a
Little
very big
known.
appetite for hurting other. Well, in some circles,
Oh,
not mine,
okay.
my friend. I just want to get the word out in case you haven't heard of the man. But he was quite dominant, probably the most dominant player of all time in any facet of the game for about 3 years for the Packers. His name is Tracy White. And I highly encourage anyone out there looking to start a new Packer blog to start a Tracy White blog. We'll even help contribute here and there. Maybe a shrine.
Yeah, I think it's only a matter
Chief
of time
statue.
before he's inducted into the Packers Hall of Fame, I think.
That's a sure end.
Robert, thank you so much for joining us this morning. You're legendary, and thanks a lot.
Brian, thank you for having me. I had a great time. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good. Robert Greenfield
Bye
of the
bye.
PackerRanter.com, right here on Railbird Central this morning. How about that? PackerRanter.com. My favorite Packers blog. That includes Cheesehead TV, I think. Oh, how do I go from laughing now to discussing news? I suppose I'll try to do it. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining me this morning. We're going to take a look at the Packer headlines of the day here on Railbird Central. I left a link at the top of the blog. If you scroll all the way up, there's a link to today's Packers Daily Links. And by all means, if you want to comment on today's show, please tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags Cheesehead TV. And your comments will get through to the show. Feel free to use the Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player, and your comments are being approved in Cover It Live as well. And if you want to call into the show, our line has now opened up. The phone number is area code 646-797-2909, 646-797-2909. So feel free to give me a buzz and we can talk about whatever is on your mind, including today's top story in the Daily Links, which is Aaron Rodgers being nominated for two ESPY Awards, as Robert and I alluded to earlier here. The all-important ESPY Awards, which captures the attention of an entire nation sometime in July, I think. It's weird actually. When I was growing up, I kind of thought the ESPYs were cool, and I think they probably were for a little while. I seriously, I will never forget Jim Volvano's speech he gave on the ESPY Awards. I mean, this is probably, we're going back to mid-90s here. And it was probably one of the first ESPY award shows ever. And it really was an inspirational speech. The late Jim Valvano, who used to coach North Carolina State basketball, passed away from cancer. You probably know the story, but he gave a speech on the ESPY Awards that literally was very inspiring, and I would have to say it's one of the greatest speeches, sports related speeches in history. But unfortunately, I think it's been a downward spiral for the ESPYs ever since that time, and it's a contrived event by ESPN that tries to be the Oscars or the Grammys, but it just it doesn't work. I mean, the awards that they hand away from by the NFL, MVP or Most Valuable Defense Player, Rookie of the Year. I mean, those are the awards that you count, that you think matter. And an ESPY award for the best male athlete is Aaron Rodgers is nominated for, and nothing wrong with the giving that away that award, but its importance is dubious at best, I suppose. But here today's lead story comes from Jason Wilde at ESPNMilwaukee.com, and it talks a little bit about the ESPY Awards. And here it says, quote, Aaron Rodgers is nominated along with NASCAR's Jimmie Johnson, tennis's Rafael Nadal, and the NBA's Dirk Nowitzki in the Best Male Athlete category, while the NFL Player category, Rodgers is up against NFL MVP Tom Brady and teammate Clay Matthews, among others. So both Rodgers and Matthews nominated for ESPY Awards, and even head coach Mike McCarthy is nominated in the Best Coach or Manager of the Year award. So, do you care about the ESPYs? I see the poll up right now. 75% say no. So, the best player of award, their best player vote there too. Tracy White getting 100% of the vote, and I approve right there. I'm sure Robert Greenfield would too. David comments Rafael Nadal is probably the most underrated athlete in the world, and perhaps he is. I'm not too big of a tan of, too big of a fan of tennis, but I do know that Rafael Nadal is pretty good. And can Rodgers beat him out? I don't know. And frankly, I don't care. Is that wrong to say on a show about the Packers here? I won't be watching the ESPYs whenever it is. Oh. But anyhow, in perhaps more interesting news as we go along here, the next story in today's Packers Daily Links. You scroll down a little bit, got a little tidbit about head coach. I'm sorry, assistant head coach Winston Moss. He's actually, should anything ever happen to head coach Mike McCarthy, he has illness or you name it, Winston Moss would be the head coach of the Packers. He is the assistant head coach, and probably more known as the inside linebackers coach, coaching guys like Desmond Bishop, AJ Hawk, Nick Barnett, et cetera. But his name has come up for assistant head coaching jobs across the NFL. I think he was in the running for the Raiders job couple years ago, or is it this past year? It seems like the Raiders name coaches faster than any other team in the NFL. So I mean, they had the guy who coached tennis, Kiffin there. They had Lane Kiffin, and then they replaced him. It wasn't a mid-season with Tom Cable, and then they had just hired the new guy this year. Name escapes me, my goodness, of who the Raiders hired as their head coach. But Winston Moss, anyway, he's in the running been interviewed for their head coaching job. Never came to fruition. But he spoke to the Packers official website about, becoming a head coach in the NFL, and, kind of feels that time is upon him, sooner rather than later. Vic Ketchman of Packers.com, here he writes, quote, "At 45, Moss is in the prime of his get a head coaching job years. This is when it happens, and he wants it to happen. He has a burning desire to be a head coach. It's an appetite that's been whetted by 4 years as Mike McCarthy's assistant head coach." And a direct quote here from Winston Moss: "Based on what I've done so far, the word should have gotten out by now, and more people should be aware of the name," he said, frustration apparent in his voice. So, Winston Moss wanting to be a head coach in the NFL. That article goes on to talk about how much of a, you-rah-rah, pep talk kind of guy he is. And sometimes, I do not know Winston Moss, but sometimes I wonder if those kind of guys are not really cut out to be head coaches in the NFL. I mean, not that they can't be, but I mean, if that's your calling card, inspiration, you-rah-rah, that I'm not sure that cuts it. I mean, we saw that with Mike Singletary of the 49ers. I think he was kind of the same type of guy, an emotional leader, but there's so much more that goes into that job. I mean, should you be inspirational? Yes, I believe so, but I'm not sure that, that, as I said, that's going to cut it. I mean, that so much, it seems, needs to be, the X's and O's, of course, but just being the point man, whether it's dealing with interior issues, on your own team, handling arguments between players, or not necessarily arguments, but trying to appease the masses as guys with huge egos, or whether you're dealing with the media, things like that. There's a lot that goes into it, and again, I don't know Winston Moss, so I mean, I know as much as probably everybody watching this show, just what you read in articles like that or see in the media, and you don't see Winston Moss a whole lot in the media. Perhaps, a feature article here, or just a catch a glimpse of him on the sideline, or something like that. So, I don't know whether Winston Moss would be a good head coach in the NFL. Illinois Pack fan comments: "I thought Mike Singletary was going to be a good head coach. Boy, was I wrong. Maybe he'll get a second chance someday and prove me right." Right now, isn't Mike Singletary an assistant coach for the Minnesota Vikings? Now that they've kind of gone through an overhaul of their coaching staff there in the state right next to Wisconsin. Is he defensive coordinator there? Am I correct, or is he just a linebackers coach? I can't even remember which one he was hired as over there in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. They play in Minneapolis, don't they? Or St. Paul? I mean, I realize it's kind of the Twin Cities together, but Sean comments: "I gotta think working under McCarthy gives Moss every chance." It doesn't hurt. I commented on today's Packers Daily Links that winning a Super Bowl certainly doesn't hurt. Taryn for 12 says, "If a head coach is the rah-rah guy, then Denver should name Tebow as their head coach." Certainly. I mean, Tebow was known as the rah-rah guy in college. We haven't seen it yet in the pros. Or at least I haven't. I mean, I suppose you got to be starting to be a rah-rah guy. Oh, Illinois Pack fan says linebackers coach. So Mike Singletary is the linebackers coach of the Vikings. So the Packers will be seeing plenty of him this upcoming season. Winston Moss, there's always this debate about the Rooney rule in the NFL. Winston Moss is black, obviously. He's a minority. And there's the Rooney rule is, it's required that teams looking for a head coach, or is it any position are required to interview a minority. So like that's like a rule that exists in the NFL. And not just the NFL, there might be other workplaces out there that have the same thing, but there's always this controversy about the Rooney rule. Whether it's right, whether it's fair. I mean, if there's a qualified white candidate out there, head coach, that the team knows, hey, this is the guy we want. I mean, we don't want to interview anyone, any other players, minorities or majorities or whatever. We know the candidate we want. So do we, it's like almost, is this a pity thing then? That they already have their mind made up. So is this actually kind of counterproductive? It's, I'm not exactly an expert here on race relations in the United States, but I perhaps Winston Moss has been a person who got an interview because of the Rooney Rule. I don't know, whether how many people the Raiders interviewed or whatever. So I'm kind of talking off the cuff here and off the top of my head, but it is an interesting topic that perhaps sometime I would like to hear somebody speak to more in depth about the usefulness of this rule. Of course, and a couple other Packers assistants, Darren Perry, for one, safeties coach, is being talked about as a potential head coaching candidate at some point in his career. I don't know how close he is to that, but almost, I swear I've heard almost every assistant coach on the Packers staff being mentioned as, down the road being a hot candidate. I've heard Edgar Bennett's name come up. Of course, currently Dom Capers, has been a head coach in the NFL, and he's kind of getting to the end of the line, and I'm not sure if it's ever going to happen to him again. Kevin Green, I've heard his name bandied about. Tom Clements, quarterback's coach. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else out there. I that might do it as far as, well, Mike Turgovac. I don't know. I haven't heard his name a lot lately as being a hot commodity for other teams, but he was at one point the defensive coordinator of the Carolina Panthers. And I guess his name did come up when the Denver Broncos kind of went through their coaching change here in this past season. So, it's only a matter of time. People kind of thought that because the Packers, went so deep into the playoffs, when that happens, all the head coaching spots and every coaching job like that's open comes open like during the playoff time. All the teams that didn't make the playoffs, fired their coaches, and the Packers were coaches were prevented from interviewing for that jobs because they're still alive the whole time. So, that maybe prevented some of these guys from moving on up the ladder, things like that. In fact, just Jimmy Robinson did take, what was it, the assistant head coach job with the Dallas Cowboys after the season, moved on a promotion. So, in seasons in the future here, this might be something that we see from other Packers assistants going on. But anyway, it's 8:30 right now. I'm gonna take a break. When we come back, we're gonna continue our periodic, I guess you could say, look at the position groups among the Packers. We'll take a look at the inside linebackers today, this Tuesday here on Real Bird Central. Hang with me, we'll be right back.
This is James Jones, Green Bay Packers wide receiver, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
You are watching Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. Thanks for joining us today, everyone. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. And just a programming note, our next episode of Railbird Central on Friday. Isn't Friday the first day of July? We're almost at the 4th of July point here. Fantastic time of the year. Joining us on Friday will be Max Ginsburg of the blog PurplePantsGreenJersey.com, one of the premier Packers bloggers in the blogosphere, and Vikings blogger too. Max, of course, covers the unique circumstance of being a Packers fan in Minnesota Vikings country, and kind of covers both sides of the border. Anyhow, as I said before, we're going to kind of break down the inside linebacker position of the Green Bay Packers as we kind of make our way through all the positions here in the run-up to training camp, what we hope will be training camp opening up on time. Is this lockout going to end soon? Lots of good news lately, but, you know, I haven't really seen a whole lot of progress. You know, I just keep hearing progress, but you know, I'm not hearing that a deal is imminent, which is what I want to hear. Perhaps I'm being greedy. Just as long as training camp opens on time, I'll be happy. We will see. Anyhow, kind of going through the inside linebacker position and kind of a position in flux, perhaps. I suppose we can start with AJ Hawk, you know, kind of a guy who's been starting for the Packers for, you know, ever since he was drafted in what was his rookie year, 2005? Or is it 2006, perhaps? 2006? AJ Hawk being the fifth overall draft choice, kind of really had a strong rookie season, and you thought, holy cow, this guy's going to be good. And then kind of after that, he's just been average. AJ Hawk's never been poor, never been bad, but as the fifth overall draft choice in the NFL, you kind of wondered, like, you know, wow, we were kind of hoping for more from him than this. So, you know, he had been just adequate, just average. And you know, it had gotten to the point where the Packers is, you know, early in the 2010 season, even he wasn't even a three down player. He was a starter, but was taken out in nickel situations. And then all of a sudden, injuries to Nick Barnett and Brandon Chiller happen, and now A.J. Hawk is forced to be a three-down player, but goes on to have probably the best season of his entire career here in 2010. Led the NFL in interceptions among linebackers, which, you know, I was only, what, two or three this year. I mean, linebackers don't get a ton of interceptions, but I mean, you know, just he led the team in tackles and, you know, was just, you know, solid. And I think the move to inside linebacker has done wonders for him. He doesn't have to be that sideline to sideline guy. And some, you know, the big thing that I saw in college is that he was a sideline to sideline guy, and you wonder where that speed went. And perhaps it's just the general increase in speed across the NFL that he can't quite keep up with. But anyway, I think inside linebacker is a good position for him. He is a solid tackler. I've always say he knows how to funnel. Gosh, he is so good at that, in my opinion. He knows how to force runners back to where his help is, you know, usually to the inside of the field. But, you know, the defensive line did a good job keeping blockers off of him, and he did a good job making tackles this year. And he was actually, I didn't even realize this to a couple weeks ago, AJ Hawk was a Pro Bowl alternate this past year. because of, I mean, he wasn't voted in originally, but because of injuries, he would have played in the Pro Bowl had the Packers not qualified for the Super Bowl this past year. So, Alex Talich asked, didn't AJ's wife say he plays in the scheme to get picks and not sacks? Yeah, I mean, he certainly isn't a sack expert. They don't blitz AJ Hawk a lot. They do occasionally, but you know, it's guys like Clay Matthews and the outside linebackers who are sent a whole lot more, and even a guy like Nick Barnett was sent a whole lot more than AJ Hawk. But you know, you just hope that this 2010 was the beginning of something, you know, big for AJ Hawk. Or I mean, if he could just duplicate what he did on in 2010, if he could just duplicate that every year, you know, he would be, that would be fantastic. He signed, of course, a contract extension prior to the CBA expiring, so the Packers now have him under their control for a couple more years here. And one of AJ Hawk's, you know, best qualities is that he is always available. He is never hurt. You know, he might have been hurt in the preseason before, but gosh, how many games has he missed in his career? None? One? It's not many. He's always available, which, you know, he's kind of known as a workout warrior, and you know, I think that certainly helps him out. So, you know, he's got that going for him. Okay, so we ended in here before I go on. If you want to chime in, by all means, on the inside linebacker discussion here, any topic on the Green Bay Packers, feel free. Once again, call into the show. The phone number's on the screen. But, you know, ending last season as A.J. Hawk's teammate on the inside would be Desmond Bishop. A guy who really, once again, came on in 2010, thanks to injuries to Nick Barnett and Brandon Chiller. Desmond Bishop became a starter by default, but really grabbed onto that starting job and became very productive. Had AJ Hawk, you know, not been starting all year long, you know, from the beginning, had Desmond Bishop and AJ Hawk been starters from week one, Desmond Bishop might have been the leading tackler on the team. You know, he was just behind only A.J. Hawk as the number two tackler. And, you know, again, just became a playmaker is really is what Desmond Bishop did. And, you know, in my opinion, Desmond Bishop might have had the best game in the Super Bowl of any player. Maybe not named Aaron Rodgers, at least. Aaron Rodgers had a fantastic Super Bowl, but Desmond Bishop, of course, recovered that fumble caused by Clay Matthews. I thought Desmond Bishop had the best game of any defensive player in the Super Bowl. And I know an argument can be made for Clay Matthews, certainly, and Nick Collins getting the big interception return for a touchdown, but Desmond Bishop, I think, did a fantastic, fantastic job. And he did all year. I just, you know, people have been waiting for Desmond Bishop to kind of, you know, come on the scene. His nickname was starting to be Mr. September because he would always have a good training camp, a good preseason. And then he kind of continually sat on the bench. He was always one of the special team's best players. I mean, he was perhaps, I think, the leading tackler in special teams in 2009, before last season, but then, you know, kind of relegated. He was relegated to special teams duty until he finally broke out here. And you know, prior to 2010, he was always a tease. When he would get playing time, he didn't really do a whole lot with it. I mean, we can point back to, is it 2007 or 2008? He would get exposed in pass protection, notably against former Wisconsin Badger Owen Daniels when the Packers played the Texans at Lambeau Field. And he got ran over by Adrian Peterson a couple times against the Vikings when he got a spot start there because of injuries. and just was never able to put it all together. But you know, with time and experience, he did it. He did it in 2010. David comments, Bishop saved this Packers season with the shoestring tackle of DeSean Jackson in the Eagles playoff game. No doubt about it. An underrated play in the Packers season in 2010. And, you know, the place that A.J. Hawk and Desmond Bishop took in the starting lineup belonged to Nick Barnett originally. And here's where things get dicey. I suppose I should mention that Desmond Bishop signed a long-term contract extension in the middle of last season, so now he's locked up. And head coach Mike McCarthy has said the starters, at least the default starters coming into next season, who will be getting the first snaps are Hawk and Bishop, even though Nick Barnett only lost his job due to injury. And I admit here, I don't know what's going to happen with Nick Barnett. He himself was a first-round draft choice, was, in my opinion, arguably one of the best linebackers in the entire NFL in 2007. And then he's had injury problems since that time. Had his season ended by a knee injury in, what was that, 2000, was it 2008? And went on injured reserve. Or, I'm sorry, that was 2008. Came back last year, 2000, you know, I guess two seasons ago now, 2009. Had a good season for a guy coming off an ACL injury. The Packers, if you remember, brought him back slowly, but, you know, he did pretty good, I thought, coming, especially considering coming off an ACL. And then this past year, you know, again, another season-ending injury. What was it? It was with his arm this time. Was it the elbow or the wrist? It was the wrist, wasn't it? And which, I mean, you certainly don't think of a wrist as quite as debilitating as an ACL injury. And, you know, it's not like he's going to lose any speed from a wrist injury. Nick Barnett might, you know, lose some speed due to age. I mean, he is starting to be, you know, what is he entering his ninth year in the NFL now? So he's been around the block. And, you know, of course, there was this whole controversy about the Super Bowl team photo that Nick Barnett really kind of, you know, played a role in blowing up larger than it should be when he was on injured reserve and was complaining he wasn't going to be part of the Super Bowl photo. And, you know, him along with Jermichael Finley, and that really blew up in his situation. And Nick Barnett, we've talked about before, is kind of an outspoken guy. If you follow him on Twitter, you know that. Sometimes the filter isn't always on with him. He speaks first and thinks later, I think, sometimes. Kirk Kozad comments here, love Barnett, but with his contract, he will be expendable. And that's where the Packers stand right now. Here's a guy who's being paid starter's money, who is not going to be a starter, at least to begin with. So what do you do with him? Do you cut him? That's a possibility. I'm not sure that's going to happen, but it's possible. Do you trade him? Well, I mean, the whole lockout hasn't helped in that situation. The Packers are currently prevented from making trades until a CBA is in place. Do you let him compete for the job as a starter, and may the best person win? And maybe Barnett can win the job back. So, you know, all these are options. And I, as I said, I fully admit, I don't know what's going to happen to Barnett. I don't know what's going to happen, you know, with his future. What if I had to guess, if I absolutely had to guess, I say they trade him. The timing is not ideal because of, you know, the lockout, and he's not had they been able to make trades, during the draft or in this entire offseason, it would have made sense because he could take part in another team's offseason program. But, I think for a team that needs inside linebacker help out there that's perhaps a little desperate, he's starting quality. He's starting quality, the NFL linebacker. At his age, I don't think you're going to get a ton. But in the view of the Packers, he's not starting anyway. He's getting starters money, so you're going to save money. You're going to give him a shot to start somewhere. I mean, that seems logical to me. The only thing that, I kind of think, might not happen is because of, the lockout that, just the timing isn't right. Yeah, it would have been more likely had they been able to trade him this offseason, perhaps. What can the Packers get in return? A mid-round draft choice, a fifth rounder, I would say, for a starter. The Packers aren't going to get a first-round draft choice for Nick Barnett, unfortunately, even though he was a first rounder. He's old and he's worth a lot of money, so teams are not going to give a ton away when they have to inherit his salary and an aging player who's probably on the downside of his career. Just the stark reality that when you reach your eighth, ninth year in the NFL, you're defying the odds already. So, Kurt Cozad comments, I think his contract is too hefty to hold him for very long unless they do a position move. That's a lot of money for a gamble. So that's where the Packers sit with Nick Barnett. I mean, just flat out cutting him is a possibility, and keeping him on the team to compete for a job is a possibility as well. I mean, as all Packer fans know, injuries happen. Boy, if all of a sudden AJ Hawk, God forbid, or Desmond Bishop, God forbid, suffers a season-ending knee injury, well, the Packers can fall back on Nick Barnett, and that's a pretty good fallback plan. So, there's that to consider as well. So, Illinois Pack fan says Ted Thompson has been good about getting rid of players who are past their prime in TT We Trust. Did the same with Brett Favre and Al Harris as well. I don't know what's going to happen with Nick Barnett. It's going to be a flurry of activity once the CBA is finally agreed to. Taryn for 12 says TT will not go all in for Barnett. He'll fold his hand. So another guy the Packers have on their depth chart at inside linebacker is Brandon Chiller, who, while not quite as old as Nick Barnett, he is also being paid starters money to be a backup, which, does not exactly bode well for him either. Now, if one of those two players were out of the way, either Barnett or Chiller, you would think the Packers could, keep one of them at that salary being a backup, because again, they would be have depth there should an injury occur and, anything happen. Brandon Chillar would be a good insurance policy as well. So, the Packers signed him in free agency a couple years ago, one of the few moves in free agency they actually make. But, Brandon Chillar has been a good backup. He's been a good special teams player. They've used him in certain packages. He's kind of been known as one of the better guys in pass coverage as a linebacker. Of course, he would actually kind of play a safety position in the big Oakey packages. So, he's got that going for him. So, I think it comes down to Nick Barnett or Brandon Chiller. Which of those two are you going to keep? The Packers will keep one, but not another. And it's possible, I suppose, that Chiller could be a trade candidate as well if the Packers wanted to keep Nick Barnett. I see that as a less likely scenario, though, just because Chiller is younger. And, I think Nick Barnett, perhaps, I don't know. Could be a malcontent if he is a backup, and I don't see kind of Brandon Chiller being in that same category. So, David says he's known for being good in pass coverage, but he isn't. Yes, certainly that, you know, that argument can be made. I tend to agree that he kind of has this reputation as being good in pass coverage, but we haven't seen many interceptions from Brandon Chiller. You know, that, unfortunately, that isn't happening. Odds go Pacos says, should certainly keep Nick and trade Chiller, but it's too expensive. It's not a situation. I mean, every single one of us here can throw it a guess, and who knows who's going to be right here in the grand scheme of things. As I said, I think the most likely scenario is Barnett gone. Whether it's trade or cut, I don't know. And Chiller stays is the backup. Alex Talich says, screw Chiller, keep Nick. He said he'd take a Packer-friendly contract. And that's interesting. Yeah, Nick Barnett has stated he would, you know, take a Packer-friendly contract. It's almost hard to believe that he would do that. But, I mean, who am I to question him? So, Colleen says that's the one thing about Nick. You'd know he'd like to stay. We'll see. We'll see. Once again, we're not going to find out till training camp's done, till they have a CBA in place and a flurry of activity takes place. And who knows if a trade does happen for either of these guys, you know, it might not happen till, you know, training camp is underway for the weird way the NFL season is headed in that direction this year. So if you look after that, the Packers drafted an inside linebacker this year, DJ Smith. I believe he was a sixth rounder. Pardon me for a second. DJ Smith, you know, would stand to be, if, you know, Barnett or Chiller is gone, he would be the, you know, fourth linebacker. So if one of those guys are gone, which I think, you know, eventually will happen, this guy is going to stand to see some playing time, you know, probably primarily on special teams. But he's a guy to keep your eye on. He was kind of notable for being 5'11", which is, you know, rather short for an NFL linebacker. But, you know, the Packers must have seen something in him for a team that sticks rather to their guns regarding, you know, certain height requirements, or they have in the past at least. You know, they must have saw something in this guy to go out on a limb, draft him at 5'11". He was a tackling machine at Appalachian State, has actually been compared to D'Amico Ryans, who himself was short and also a graduate of Appalachian State. And if the Packers could get D'Amico Ryans out of DJ Smith, they would be more than happy. They would be ecstatic. They would be thrilled. So he's a guy to keep your eye on. He's not going to be a factor unless perhaps the Packers suffer two injuries this season. But he'll play special teams, and who knows? It'll be fun to watch a guy like him during training camp, especially if you head to training camp, watch practices where he'll get tons of playing time, and in preseason games as well where he'll get a shot. So we'll see how much of a tackling machine he can be at the NFL level as opposed to the college level. And that just about does it at the inside linebacker position. They had a practice squad guy last year. Was it Cardia Jackson from Louisiana Monroe, if I'm correct? And again, I mean, you know as much about Cardia Jackson as I do. I know he was on the practice squad last year. I know he was a good college player, I believe, at Louisiana Monroe. But beyond that, oh, the jury's out. I suppose training camp is where we see if he's really you know, worth it, if he's worth keeping around as either a practice squad player again, or worth being on the 53-man roster as a backup. If perhaps some guy like DJ Smith is a bust, then he's got a shot. Let's see, Rob Francois played both inside and outside linebacker last season. And there was kind of this rumor floating around earlier this offseason that perhaps Brad Jones would be shifted from outside linebacker to inside linebacker. I don't buy it. I don't see it. But I'm just throwing it out there as things I've seen and heard in my time. Illinois Pack fan says, is DJ Smith the next Tracy White? I personally would be thrilled if DJ Smith was the next Tracy White. Tracy White was really good on special teams, and if DJ Smith could be that guy, one of their best special teams player, that would be a huge role for him on the team. Anyhow, it's just about 9 o'clock here. That concludes our inside linebacker depth chart chat talk here on Railbird Central today. And that wraps up the show as well. So, again, thanks, everyone, for joining me today. Thank you to Robert Greenfield of the Packer Ranter, PackerRanter.com, for joining us. Thanks to our moderator today, Alex Talich of the Packers Lounge, for helping out as well. So thanks a lot, everyone, for joining me today. We'll be back on Friday with Max Ginsburg of the blog, PurplePantsGreenJersey.com. So tune in for that. See you later, everyone. Have a good Tuesday.